In Jesus' name, amen. I wish to draw the political implications from this text, and particularly from verse 9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from troubles. We're beginning a new summer session, and we're beginning also a new month. The summer session is before us, and we know what that means. The month is usually considered to be citizenship month. Wednesday, we celebrate the 208th birthday of our beloved land. This is important. The Scriptures has a great deal to say about citizenship, about politics, not about Democrats, Republican, populists, fascists, socialists, but about politics, being members of the city of God and of the city, the polis of this world. And we learn from this particular text how these two types of citizenship relate to one another, so that we be not split people, but that we be wholly integrated, and that the citizenship of one serves that of the other. The theme is, of course, the text itself. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly. Or we could put it, how to turn away God's anger from our country. And I'd like to cite, I'd like to cite two examples which are given from the text. One, the example of Noah, and second, the example of Lot. In the time of Noah, wickedness abounded upon the earth. We're all aware of that. Even in our text, some of this wickedness is described. It is called blasphemy. It is called rebellion against authority, certainly the first table of the law. But then it is also called unbridled passion and lust. It is called greed. It is called stubbornness. It is called all kinds of sexual sins, and even boasting about the sins that we have already committed. It sounds familiar. These are the things that break up the fabric of society, that leave a people the poorer for those who practice it. I shall pass over the causal relationship, the correlation between false teachers and false prophets and this wickedness, though that is a theme and that's a half a dozen sermons by itself, and it is certainly a very important one. These false teachers and false prophets went and they made merchandise of believers, and with their plastic words they caused their souls to go out. In other words, before we find wickedness, we always find the false prophets and the false teachers who import and who bring in this batch of evil. But now we look at Noah specifically. He is called a preacher of righteousness. He was not very successful. Only seven people were saved, his three sons and their wives and his own missus, his own wife. He was a preacher of righteousness who continued for 100 years to preach while the ark was in the process of being constructed. God was giving the people, of course, of Noah's time an opportunity, the long-suffering, the makrothumia, the anoche, the forbearance of God was holding out, waiting for people to repent, but they did not. But here we see the principle that is involved, and it is that principle which I wish to stress. Namely, God preserves a land or a people or the world because of the believers who are in it. And even that, though that number be but few, in this case only 8 righteous souls, yet God will not destroy the righteous with the ungodly. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 22, gives us this picture at the time of a crisis. I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It is whenever God metes out his judgment against a land, against a people, that as it were he goes up and down the land, he looks into the hearts like old Diogenes used to with his lantern, look for an honest man, he looks into the hearts, do I find here a true believer? Do I find here someone who is building the wall, who is willing to stand in the gap to hold back the fury of my anger. And if he finds none, then he, as in the days of Ezekiel, thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their head, declares the Lord God. In other words, the believers are a dam which holds back God's wrath. The believers, the church, the Christians, though there be only 8 souls, they are the dike which keeps the flood of God's judgment from inundating a people, a land. This is how the Lord delivers the godly. He knows how to do it. Certainly in our land, where we experience all sorts of advantages and blessings, including also blessings and advantages from the IRS. The IRS, the government, does not tax the church. But simply, the government recognizes the church is the most important institution here. The believers are the most important citizens. Let's not tax them, even though people misuse this privilege who knows how seriously, yet let's not tax them for the purpose that they are the ones that hold back God's anger. They turn his anger away. So we learn this from the example of Noah. Also, the example of Lot is mentioned here. Righteous Lot, we're told, was deeply grieved by the dissolute conduct of these lawless people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And day after day, the sights and the sounds of these lawless deeds burdened his righteous soul as he lived among them. What did Lot do? This man who made so many bad decisions in his life, and he was certainly not the light and the salt, the caliber of a person that Noah was or Abraham, who prayed for his safety and so forth, but we can only surmise that Lot lifted up his hands in prayer to God. He thought like Jonah, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. Yes, Abraham prayed for him. If there be 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, if there be 40, if there be 30, 20, 10, if there be 10, he would not destroy this city. Like Jeremiah, we too pray for the peace of the city, for therein we shall have and find our peace. Like Daniel, we make confession for our land. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judgment. Like St. Paul, we recognize the powers that be as ordained by God, and we respect them as God's representatives, regardless of what we may say about the officer who gave us the ticket down the street a little while ago. Yes, we are to lift up holy hands in entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgiving for all, for kings, for all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. How do we turn away God's anger? We turn it away by intercession. We turn it away by believing, teaching God's word, and living God's word. That's how we turn away God's anger. As all of us know, that anger has already been turned away. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, through his own Son, God lashed out the full thunderbolts and lightning flashes of his anger against his Son. His anger is therefore blunted. His anger is removed. Our faith is the shield that accepts this protection. We are not under his wrath, but we are under grace. Let us continue in that faith. For the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from troubles.